Father, bless this time, bless this message in Jesus' name. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke chapter 1. In verse 30, the angel Gabriel was talking to Mary. Mary was the mother of Jesus. Now, Mary was a unique lady. She was a young woman, and she was kind of unique in as much as she had a heart that trusted God. That's all that's really required, is a heart that trusts God. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever." Jacob is another name for Israel. "And of his kingdom there will be no end." Now imagine this, you have this young woman, and she's being told by an angel that she's going to have a child. What kind of a message is that? But this child is not just any ordinary child. The angel is telling her that he will be called the Son of God. Now think about that. He will be called the Son of God. Do you know who Jesus is? I mean, on one hand, we know of Jesus. We all heard who he is. We all heard he's the Son of God. He came to die for our sins and all that. And that's true. But do you really know who he is? This past week, I heard some pretty interesting things about Jesus, most of which weren't quite right. For example, I heard that Jesus was actually not born on Christmas, but in April sometime. The reason why they say that is because of the way that the calendar changed. They don't understand the changing of the calendar. They used a different calendar in those days. They only had 10 months. We have 12. Jesus was actually born on Christmas. The date was preserved correctly. Even though, according to the old calendar, it didn't line up to December, but in the old calendar, there was no December. But according to the old calendar, and they'll say things like, well, shepherds were out with their sheep. And so it must have been sometime in the springtime. You know, you don't have the same climate in Israel as you have in the northern hemisphere up north, like Europe or the United States in many places and all that. Shepherds could very easily be out there at this time of year tending sheep. But they make up all kinds of strange things. Now, here's the thing. Do you know who Jesus is? Jesus is the Savior. Please understand that. This is the most important thing you can learn from the Bible. That Jesus is the Savior. What does that mean? That means he came to save you. That's what that means. He came to save you. Save you from what? Save you from many things, but in particular, most importantly, to save us from hell and to take us to heaven when we die. There is a place that was created for Satan and the angels that became demons. And that place is hell. It was not created for God's angels, the holy angels, and it was not created for people. Unfortunately, sometimes people do go there. And the reason is because they reject Jesus. Now, nobody who accepts Jesus has to be afraid of that. Nobody who believes in him has to be afraid of that. Jesus came to save us from that. He came to save us from our sins also. When Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, when they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they fell, that was sin. Sin was introduced into the world, and because it's passed on genetically, now you may not know what that means yet, but it's passed on in your physical body. Your parents give it to you, you give it to your children give it to your grandchildren, and so on. Because it's passed on, we still have the same sin that Adam had and Eve had. He came to save us from that sin. Why? Because that sin was the separation from God that opened the door to hell for people who wouldn't believe. The Bible says that Jesus was the Savior. He is the way that we get saved from hell, from our sins. He's the way that we get into heaven. He says, I am the way. No one comes to the Father but by me. He says, He's the door. Please understand that thing. You need to know that. Every person needs to know that. Jesus is your Savior. And He saves you if you believe in Him. In John 3:16, the Bible says that God sent Jesus because He loved. God did not want us to suffer the penalty of sin because He loved us. Imagine that. God loved you so much that He sent Jesus. And Jesus was God's only Son. And He came for this purpose, that He would die on a cross to pay the penalty for our sins. That's pretty remarkable. Just like God the Father, Jesus is also God. As a matter of fact, Jesus and the Father are in this respect the same person. Have you heard of the Trinity? The Trinity is very important. The Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity. Do you know how that works? Because there's only one God, but when you hear about the Trinity, it makes it sound like there's three gods. But there aren't three gods. There's only one God. The way it works is like this. Let's say that there is a man, and that man is a police officer. And let's say that he is married and he has children. And so if you encounter that man on the street in uniform, he pulls up behind you in his car with the lights flashing, you have a certain type of an experience with that man. But then he goes home at the end of the day and he sees his wife there. And she has a different type of experience with that same man. And then he sees his children there. And they have a different type of experience with that same man. The relationship that I would have to a police officer is much different than that man's wife would have to him, or that man's children would have to him. It's a completely different type of a relationship. That's what the Trinity is like. It's one man, but he's a police officer, he's a husband, and he's a dad. And so you have three types of people, but they're really all just one person. And it's like that with God. You have God the Father, you have God the Son, and you have God the Holy Spirit. But it's really just one person. God the Father is who we think of in heaven, seated on the throne. God the Son is when God took on a human body and came to earth. And He kept that human body for all eternity. That's God the Son. God the Holy Spirit is when God goes and lives inside of you. That's the Holy Spirit. Still one God, still one person. But three different expressions, three different ways of knowing Him. Now, God sent Jesus because He loved. And He sent Him to die for our sins. And the Word of God says that that's called being born again. When a person believes in Jesus, and that person knows in their heart that Jesus saves them from hell, from sin, all those things, then they become born again. Now, there was a very famous religious man who asked Jesus this question: how can a man be born again when he is old? Can you be a child again? Can you actually be born and you're already old? That doesn't make any sense. And Jesus said to him, what is born of the Spirit is spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. When you're born again, it doesn't mean that you have a new body. It means that you have a new spirit. But something is born inside of us. And something is born inside of us. People are made of three parts. They're made of a body, they're made of a soul, and they're made of a spirit. However, people who don't believe in Jesus, who are not born again, they have a body and a soul, but they do not have a living spirit. When a person becomes born again, what's born is the spirit inside them. When a person dies, their soul and their spirit become one, and their body dies and goes into the ground, but eventually God will restore that body, and they'll have that body again. So when we die, we go to heaven as a soul and a spirit that become one thing. So when you're born again, the spirit is born inside of you. And then God comes and lives inside of you. That's why he says he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you, because he's living inside of you. Because you're born again, God says in Ephesians 1:6 that he accepts you in the beloved. That means that he considers you to be his own child. Just the way that your dad is your dad and you are your dad's child, God said, in the same way, I accept you as my child. So now you're God's child and he accepts you absolutely. Now let me ask you something. If you are really, 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 really good, does your dad become more of your dad than when you're not so good? Or is he always just the same dad? He's always the same dad, right? He's not more or less of your dad. He's your dad. It's like that with God. If we're really, really, really good, it doesn't make God more of our dad. It doesn't make God love us any less or any more or any differently. In the same way, let's say that you do something you shouldn't do. You misbehave. And I know you guys don't misbehave, but let's just say, all right, if you misbehave, does your dad stop being your dad? Is somebody else all of a sudden your dad? No, of course not. And it's like that with God. If we make mistakes with God are called sin. Okay, if we misbehave with God, he might discipline us just like a good dad, but he's never going to stop being your dad, because you're accepted as his child by him. That will never change. Okay, that will never change. It cannot change. Just like your dad cannot stop being your dad, God cannot disown his own children. Okay? Now here's the thing. You get saved by believing. Okay? By trusting him. Now, when I say believing, I want to clarify what that means. Believing is not just believing that God exists or believing that Jesus was the Son of God. Believing means that you accept it for yourself. It's like this. It's Christmas. You think you're going to get any presents? Hopefully, right? You might get some presents. I think you probably might get a thing or two. When a present is under the tree, it has your name on it. And you might see the present, it's all wrapped and it's got your name on it. And you leave it under the tree. And somebody says to you, maybe mom or dad says, you know, that present is for you. And you say, yes, I know. But you never get the present out from under the tree. It stays under the tree. That's like believing without trusting. A lot of people believe that God exists and that Jesus was his son. But they never accept that for themselves. Let's say that you see that present, it's got your name on it, you dive under the tree, you grab the present, you unwrap it, and you start using it, playing with it or wearing it or whatever type of present it is, right? You get something from that. That's like trusting. Here's another example. There is a chair. I believe the chair can hold me up, but I won't sit in it. And somebody says, sit down, it'll hold you. Oh, I know it'll hold me up, but I'm not going to sit in it. That's like just believing. Trusting is when you sit in the chair, kick your feet up, put them up on the table, and have a hot chocolate and cookies. That's trusting. You actually use it. You accept it. It's like that with God too. When God says we get saved by faith, by believing, it's not just that I believe it's true, but I accept it. You know how you accept it? When you have that present under the tree, you say thank you, don't you? That's how you accept it with God too. You say, thank you, God. I'll take that. That's all there is to it. Just thank you, God. I'll take that. Have you ever done that? Have you ever said to God, the gift you gave me was that Jesus died for my sins so I would never have to go to hell, so I could be in heaven and I can be completely assured of that? I can be completely confident and know it for sure that I'm going to heaven? Have you ever said to God, thank you for that gift? Or is it one of those gifts that stays under the tree? Gifts that stay under the tree aren't very useful. But the kind you dive in and you unwrap them and you start using them, those are very useful. If you have never said that, now listen closely to this, it's very important. If you've never thanked God and told Him, I will accept your gift, you need to. It's very, very important. Let's do that right now. I don't know if you said it or not, but let's give you the opportunity right now. Alright, just close your eyes. Go ahead, close your eyes. Alright, and you can say it out loud if you want. You don't have to. You can say it just quietly in your head. God can hear your thoughts. So just close your eyes and say, God, I thank you for the gift that you gave me when Jesus died for my sins. Thank you for giving that to me. I accept that from you. And I want to use it. Thank you that it's mine. Amen. Okay. You know why that's important? That's how you receive it. When you take that present, you say thank you. And that present becomes yours. And the beautiful thing is, like, Harley's wearing a nice dress. Nobody's going to want Harley's dress. Harley's dress is for Harley. Nobody's going to try to take that away from you once it's yours. Nobody can take it away from you once it's yours, because it's God who gave it to you. And if God gave you something, you can't lose it, because you're not the one who's holding on to it. He's the one that's holding on to you. And there's nobody that's bigger than God. God gave you something that you can't lose, and therefore it's always going to be yours. Do you understand? Okay, that's it for today.